Blog Talk Radio.
California, folks, I know you don't believe me, it's really raining. Left the bike home, I came over in the truck. It's been so long since I turned my windshield wipers on. For a second or two, I couldn't find where the hell the windshield wipers were. But I got over, it's all safe, no muss, no fuss. A lot of things I want to talk about today. We're going to see if we get John Del Santo in a little bit to talk about that. Oh, the new crap coming out of Sacramento. I don't want to talk about that now. I'll let John talk about that. However, I want to talk about something that's happening in Henderson, Nevada. I got my new copy of a Quick Throttle, and in their program called Speed Bumps, they talk about different issues. The city of Henderson, Nevada, was forced earlier this year to dismiss 56 bogus helmet tickets. And even after the city lost $88,000 revenue in fines alone, Henderson law enforcers are at it again. Quick Throttle reader Nelson Ruehl, R-U-E-H-L, sorry if I blew it, known as Renegade, reported that QT, Quick Throttle, he was riding along wearing a skinny. Now, I guess that's to us, that's a non-DOT helmet. Detained by 5 Henderson police officers, given a helmet ticket. At his arraignment, Renegade pleaded not guilty. His trial is set for January 5th, 2011. They had to dismiss 56 bogus helmet tickets, and they go out and get another one. Gentlemen, ladies, Henderson, Nevada, police officers,
with guns,
give it up. It's not worth it, and you're causing taxpayers money. Now I want to talk about something else that really kind of bugged me a little bit. There are approximately 800,000 motorcycles registered in the state of California. 800,000, according to estimates from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. 800,000 motorcycles in California alone. Upper estimates from the National Gang Intelligence Service Center state that the Bandidos Motorcycle Club has approximately 900 U.S. members. Now, don't call in and tell me they got members out of state. I understand that. I'm going to talk about America here, okay? The Hells Angels Motorcycle Club is estimated to have 950 U.S. members. The Mongols Motorcycle Club, mostly in California, has 850 members. The Outlaws Motorcycle Club has more than 700 members. Boggles Motorcycle Club has about 300 members. And the Sons of Silence Motorcycle Club has about 275 members. The total membership of those six groups I just mentioned throughout the entire nation is less than 4,000. Less than 4,000. That's less than 0.5% of the number of the motorcycles registered in California. Less than 0.5%. A much larger problem, and more dangerous and closer to home, is the fight to curtail violent street gangs. According to the U.S. Attorney General, more than 20,000 gangs with about 1 million members exist in the United States. 20,000 gangs with 1 million members exist in the United States. Some clubs have up to 50,000 members. That dwarfs the membership of all motorcycle clubs. The point I want to make here is we keep talking about how much we see it on that gangland TV and all that. They raid this, they raid that. And then I look at how many guns they collected, how much drugs they collected. And I keep thinking ATF, SWAT, ATF, FBI, local police, whatever it is. There's a lot of money being spent, and I don't ever see them collecting anything. I don't see them collecting 1 million pounds of drugs. Do you, screwdriver?
No.
Do you see them collecting a whole warehouse full of weapons? No. And in some of those states, like they did the Arizona Hells Angels, probably every single neighborhood, they have guns. It's like it's legal over there. In California, I'm sure any neighborhood you come to, people collect guns.
Let me interrupt you first.
Go ahead.
Hello, Betsy.
Hello.
Betsy, hi.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I just came back from Mexico. I went down for a good party. Life is good.
Oh, good for you. I'm envious.
No problem with the police. No problem with anything. Everybody's happy. No muss, no fuss.
Right.
That's even better.
Let Bill finish what he was starting to talk. I wanted to bring you in case you want to comment.
Okay, well, I only heard part of it.
I said a little bit about there is less than 1%, one half of 1% of all the motorcycle clubs. And we have got 800,000 motorcyclists. We have got 20,000 gangs, street gangs.
Mm-hmm.
1 million members of street gangs. Some street gangs have more than 50,000 members.
Right.
Why are we stopping? Why are we spending so much time with the SWAT, FBI, AF, ATF, local police? Every time we do these gangland things on TV, I don't see them ever collecting hardly anything. And yet every time we hear motorcycles
well,
getting arrested.
Wait, interrupt you on that one. They're collecting.
So what you're saying is there's too much emphasis on motorcyclists and stopping motorcyclists, which I agree. And by the way, in this morning's paper from California, and Phil, I sent you this, there's an article where they've had to call those back, call them off, because the state of California is in such a financial mess that they can't, I don't know whether they're afraid they're going to use the grant money for other things or whatever, but they've put a halt on it, and they're not giving them any more funds. So all those stops in your area anyway should stop.
Yeah, and right.
From the grant money anyway. And then the MRF has been calling... had a call to action to get it to stop as well. You know, I agree. When I see, I mean, here, we just had a shooting in Boston, one of the Boston neighborhoods, a mother, a two-year-old baby, her cousin, and another person shot, killed. You know, and yet, along with those headlines, you'll read, you know, motorcycle is stopped, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, my God. I think there's a little too much emphasis put on, you know, they're trying to keep our image bad, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, the media has to do with yellow journalism, as we've spoken before, putting the evil, mean, vicious motorcycle gang people in the newspaper, people are going to stop and read it.
Exactly.
Our charity work, we don't get
it
no
sells headlines.
Division.
And the same thing with us, the way I notice they report motorcycle accidents. They always leave it up in the air or make it sound like it could be the motorcyclist's fault, even when it's a right of way. And I get so aggravated because, you know, I know they're doing it just to sell papers.
Well, it's just,
exactly.
It's just like this, too, that shooting in Cincinnati 2 weeks ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the 4 days it took them to cover all that bullshit through the Wednesday of the next, 25 Marines died in Afghanistan and not a word was mentioned.
And that's a lot more.
Exactly.
There's a report from North Las Vegas I want to read to you.
Okay.
There's a motorcycle club I'm going to spell Downaz. Second word, Ridaz. Downaz Riders? What do you think,
yeah,
Screwdriver?
Downaz Riders.
Okay, they have
camps
in L.A., San Diego, and Las Vegas.
I think that's a black club, though.
No, they're motorcycle people.
Right,
they don't
right,
care what
right,
they
right,
are. You know
right.
what? Anyway, they were raided at a party. The SWAT FBI ATF came. This is in North Las Vegas.
Oh, I remember seeing that.
No drugs, no weapons were found.
Right.
And yet some members were picked up and held for 22 hours, then released, a couple on some minor misdemeanor charges. And they're going to put some will go to court, but they'll be dismissed. No drugs, no weapons, no beef, no felonies, and yet SWAT, FBI, and ATF raided these people's party.
Well, we
when I was a young man, I used to get pulled over and taken down to jail and released about 2 or 3 in the morning. I didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
I realized later that they were just trying to keep me off the streets on Saturday night.
Right.
I didn't understand that at that time. And as I got older and I learned to realize my own rights, it's a big story. But here we have so much money. SWAT, FBI, and ATF from North Vegas raiding this motorcycle group. No drugs, no weapons, no felony.
No, I definitely agree that the money would be better spent on fighting the real crime.
Exactly. And I'm against all criminals. Car, truck, boat, skateboarders. I don't care what you're a criminal. You take your chances, you go to jail. I'm not defending anybody.
Right, right.
What I'm saying is, as a taxpayer, that's a lot of my money being, well, not.
Right, but to rouse citizens just because they ride a motorcycle, that's profiling and discrimination, and we know it is. But,
exactly,
you know, what all they have to say is, oh, we got a tip.
Cheap shots at us, oh, by the way, I'm going to diverse slightly. I'm having a meeting Sunday. I may be coordinating an event here to do a riot against domestic violence. I'm going to speak to the people, and Screwdriver and I are going to be getting involved in this on a large scale. So hopefully I'll get back to you on that, and we'll first I got to check these people's credibility out to make sure
right.
it's all legit, where it's going and all that. But I'll keep you up on that and send you some flyers or something, okay?
Okay, great. Speaking of events.
Domestic violence is just wrong. Man comes home from working all day long. He's tired and angry. His wife angry, and she hits him. We got to stop that type of domestic violence right now, I'm telling you. It happens sometimes.
Yeah, I know, but it's usually the other way around. But anyway, we'll just
float
over
there. We'll keep
you
up on that, maybe find out what's going on there.
I have an event coming up this weekend.
Go for it.
Okay. It's the J.J. Harris ride. Jennifer Harris was a Marine who was killed back in 2007 while commandeering a helicopter in Iraq. I was trying to think of the province, and it escapes me right now. Anyway.
Was it Fallujah?
Pardon? No.
Was Fallujah, I think.
Well, actually, I've got it on the flyer here, but long of the short is we're having our third annual ride Sunday out of Massachusetts, Middleton, Mass., the American Legion Post, and all proceeds will go to benefit local veterans and veteran services. Oh, she was in Anbar Province, Iraq. That's where it was. She was shot.
Right next
her
to
helicopter went down. And
the American Legion Post. Do they have like American Legion riders at this post? You know.
Actually, this particular post has the Marines. There are a group. There is a group rather called the American Legion Riders.
Right.
But I believe they're based out of a different post.
Because we get some American Legion riders, I believe, from Missouri or Montana. I forgot where I was writing. They listen to the show, and we talk to all of our American Legion riders out here, and they're quite interested in the show. So I will try to let them know what's going on back there also.
Well, thank you very much. We're trying to do what we can. We got
a
bike show,
please?
And raffles, 50-50 barbecue, 50-50 pool tournament, too.
You're going to have some wet T-shirt contests.
We'll see about that.
Let me ask you a question, please.
Yeah.
Bikini bike washes.
1969, I went in the military. Screwdriver went a couple years after me. I didn't care where they sent me. I didn't care what the situation was. Not that I was tough at 19. I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm a grandfather, and this is the question, and my two nephews are over there right now, both of them over there. Now
really?
I'm going to ask more questions to what are they doing over there? Why are they over there? It seems when I was younger, I didn't care what was the war fair or unfair, politically correct. I didn't care at all. But now as I'm getting a little bit older, I'm
your perspective has changed.
Yeah.
And the way you look at things and life has changed.
I don't think that my nephews are weaker than I am, but I think Screwdriver and I could be dropped off anywhere and we'll take care of our own self. But my nephews are, they're actually strong as giants. They're all taking martial arts. They're all taking the
you
both cage fights.
You have to worry about
they just,
them.
I just don't know if, what are they doing over there? I don't know.
I thought we were supposed to be pulling out of there.
Yeah, right. Screwdriver, we are very, very pro-military. And I've always said this a million times. God bless America. It just seems as I'm getting a little older now and maybe more cranky, I don't understand why we're all over
fix,
the world.
I told you how to fix that.
You know, I told you for the last time, I don't want you mentioning that on the air. I don't care what type of a friend you are. We're not going there, okay?
Got
it. He's got a strange sense of humor.
This we know.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Most often, yes.
Okay. He keeps implying something, but I don't know. It's not helpful.
It's kind of along the same lines I tell you every once in a while.
I know. But, you know, he always reminds me, with him, you got to bring your A game.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Bill, look, if you look out there to the east, you can see...
I always say to him, why am I not surprised?
Look, if you look out to the east, Bill, you can see that glow. It's Betsy in Boston.
Her cheeks are red. What do we got going there a second now? This weekend is the Las Vegas Bike Festival because...
Street vibration.
I was working with him, he's not going because of my being in Mexico last week. We're not going there, but right after that, we'll be doing a Palm Springs party.
Palm Springs.
Sorry, you can't make that one, Betsy.
Oh,
we'll
my
try to do the best
lives
we can.
Out there. When is it?
2 weeks.
In
almost
2 weeks? That's when I was out there last year. I was out there that same weekend they had that.
You down there?
I tried, but my sister had a problem with the bike, and I had to keep getting off my bike and go turn her bike around, park it, then jump across the street, get back on my bike, and get going. Yeah, it was fun.
Hmm. You know what? If all the runs are perfect, you have a tendency to forget them. But if things go wrong, those are the runs you always talk about over and over and over. I've noticed that in the course of the years.
That's right. I'm going to bring up. Hey, I'm going to bring Art in. We're going to talk about
it. Okay. Oh, by the way, I've only got an hour because I'm going to make out some certificates tonight because I'm still prepping for Sunday.
Okay.
All right.
All right, dear. Be sure you say goodbye if we leave, okay?
I will, honey.
All right,
I promise.
Hello, Art.
Hello, Phil. How goes it?
I'm to Midland.
Good.
Hi,
Art. Hey, Ben, I've got a question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. What's this with the MMA up there and the no cell phones, no texting?
Mm-hmm.
As a motorcyclist, I know how I feel.
Well,
so
Massachusetts just passed a law that went into effect today. No texting. And no cell phones for anybody under the age of 18. And that means no looking up Google applications, like even setting your GPS. They consider all of that texting now. They catch you, you get fined. It's a surcharge against your license and the whole nine yards. Just went into effect today.
So what's the... feel bad
we're
about
losing,
that.
We're losing more every day.
Well, there's controversy behind it there. Not sure whether or not that's really going to cut down the accidents.
No? Because now I just seen a survey that even more now they're trying to make comparisons between the nationalities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to say
more black writers die than Caucasian.
Right.
I was surprised when I saw that. In fact, I had to. It didn't register when it said by race, and I said, "Oh, what are they, racing motorcycles?" And then
yeah.
I read it, and I said, "Oh my God, no, they're talking race."
Yeah.
Like
no,
ethnicity.
And the reason they're up there, like in Northern California or anywhere past L.A. and around L.A., they have those motorcycle safety checkpoints. Because
mm-hmm.
they're saying that's where the most accidents are in California and L.A.
Oh.
Well, L.A. freeways are terrible.
Yeah.
If you cannot split traffic, do not come to visit L.A. If you're in your state, you think you need to ride behind a vehicle, do not come to L.A.
I saw that splitting lanes. That scares me out there the way that it's done.
You have to do it out here.
I understand that, but what if somebody opens a door or puts their arm up the window to throw out a cigarette or whatever? I mean, whammo, you know.
See, Betsy, if it's your day,
I know.
About something like this. I actually get a kick out of tapping people on their elbows as I go by. I don't think my wife's listening, or if a girl's got a hand out, I stop, I roll up, and I hold her hand for a second as I go on by. Not a big thing, but it keeps me amused on the highways.
There you go.
I don't really have any problem with anybody crossing, cutting me over, or anything. They realize the fact that they're stuck in gridlock, and we're going through it.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand some people are concerned when traffic is flowing freely, and the crotch rockets are blasting right through it. That makes you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But in California, people are used to the fact you're stuck in your car, your truck, and we're going to ease right on by. We're not trying to make you feel miserable. It was your choice. You could have bought a motorcycle, you know?
Well, part of the reason, too, is when you're stuck in traffic and you're on a Harley, I mean, your bike's going to overheat.
That's true. We don't have
radiators.
You're going
to break down, then you're going to be there for another 4 hours after the traffic's already cleared.
Unless you're with some yahoo that wants to show off, and then you spend 4 hours being Florence Nightingale, huh?
Yes.
You know, I'm pretty good at doing some roadside emergency repairs on people. I've never crashed and tried to work on myself, but I got a good stomach. I'm not uncomfortable wiping your blood off you and trying to stop the bleeding.
Philip will tell you, neither am I.
Yeah.
And then
I'm a roadside
Florence
Nightingale.
They all have puppy love.
I know.
What are you two talking about? Why do I never understand that?
Okay.
What is this bestiality she's talking about?
Yeah.
What is going on here?
I hated somebody who went down.
Okay.
And then they had that Florence Nightingale complex, you know?
Okay.
Basically, that's it.
Where'd the puppies come from? What did you just say?
I said puppy love.
Puppy love.
Okay.
But if you get back to 435.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. This guy, I'm going to read something here. It says, does anybody have insight regarding the bubble exhaust and their lobbying efforts to pass SB 435? They weren't for the bill. Pavley said they were for the bill.
I was told by somebody from ABAY to California.
Well, what it says here is, as I recall, the correspondence from Bub exonerated them of any of the charge of supporting the bill, and that Bub had asked Pavley to amend the record to show or to reflect they were not supporters.
Now, we're hoping John Del Santo is going to be on a little bit and break that a little
right,
bit.
Because I thought ABAY of California went to the table. And, in fact, I thought they were proud of the fact that they were able to get some stipulations changed.
They modified
the
bill times.
Huh?
They modified the bill 4 times.
Right.
Governor just signed a couple of days ago. The last amendment that was good for everybody was when you get a ticket, you will not get a point taken away.
Right. But now it will be $100 and a $250 fine.
It'll go up in increments every time you get a ticket.
Time.
Wow.
It's that, and the initial ticket can be voided if the individual makes the required correction.
Oh.
We're going to talk about that for a second. If you have to run the stock exhaust system and you crash your bike and need another exhaust system, the dealerships are not going to have these older mufflers.
Nope.
And then you can't run the modified ones. You don't have the EPA stamp on the muffler, but they don't make your model anymore. It's obsolete. What's it going to lead to?
Here's a comment on that one, basically what you just said. I don't like it either, but it will not prevent customization. There will be plenty of aftermarket exhaust manufacturers scrambling to build EPA-compliant exhaust for this law and the ones that follow. Bub Exhaust already has one and was the sponsor of the bill. They see the handwriting on the wall.
Well, I'm not happy that Bub's involved in this, but they're saying now they're against it, and if they are starting to make
ones that are doing two, three years ago, then we
should give Bub hats off and all that, because they're filling a void that's going to really screw people up. I've got enough supplies, enough of my motorcycle parts. I can last for a long time on everything, but the average person doesn't have my type of garage, so, you know, or my motorcycle.
Yeah, and it says don't forget that this doesn't take effect until 2013.
You're right.
And has no bearing on bikes built prior to January 1st of 2013. Now here's my question with that. Okay, nothing before 2013 is going to be bothered.
Correct.
But
noise pollution is still noise pollution.
Right. But these guys don't know the difference of what Euro bike is. They're going to pull you over and write you the ticket anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's beyond 2013 or before 2013, they're still going to give you the ticket.
Absolutely. But I don't know if the new law, and I haven't read the shit, can they pull us over just to check the mufflers?
No, they can't.
Okay, I haven't read the whole law yet there.
They can't.
Betsy, I got a plan. You want to hear it? Betsy? You lost Betsy?
Yeah.
Okay. You know about that Mayan prediction that the world's going to come to an end next year? Anybody hear about that?
Yeah, that's the movie, right?
That's what I'm thinking. So if the world comes to an end next year, I don't have to worry about 2013. That's my theory. I got a basic reality. Anybody agree with that at all?
Let's hope not.
Think about running all my credit cards right through the roof, too, because, you know, if the world's going to come to an end, what am I going to make payments on my credit cards? So I'm going to max them out, maybe. Of course,
that's
if the world doesn't come to an end, I'm going to be SOL.
Yeah, have a nice bill. But, we're just losing more every day, man. More and more going every day. So next, the thing that I want to tell you about, check this out, Bill. This is what's coming next. Now, we just had that bill pass here. They're going to try and do it in Wisconsin. Yeah, you heard me right. They're going to try and do it in Wisconsin. As well as this, okay?
Yeah.
NHTSA, the guy in charge of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, calls for a national helmet law. Ask your House and Senate candidates where they stand on mandatory motorcycle helmet laws. Then vote accordingly. This is a direct attack on motorcycle freedom. Let's not stand for it.
Well, you know the problem with this is the metric motorcyclists don't seem to care if they wear helmets or not. This comes to a vote. I think many of the parents who have children who ride motorcycles, they're going to vote. They're going to vote against it. They're going to vote to keep the helmets on. So I believe two things, actually, since you brought this up here. I believe that California's mandatory helmet law is going to spread to all the states, as you just pointed out.
Yep.
And I think they're going to use California EPA smog restrictions to every single state, too.
Yep.
I could be wrong. I have not read this. I just think it's going to spread across the country.
Yep.
We're not doing anything to stop it.
Nope.
I give hats off to Abate and Bolt and Bam and Mickey Mouse and whatever else is out there.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate and I applaud all you gentlemen and ladies for what you're doing, but if you people would just come together on something and fight this as a unit, we wouldn't have this. This constant separation between the motorcycle right organization it just handicaps us.
Right.
I feel about that anyway.
You know, Betsy, you joined us again.
Yeah, my phone died. I'm sorry about that. What I wanted to say was I wholeheartedly agree with you, Bill, but if they took the correct statistics, the raw statistics, not the ones that they play elastic bands with and fudge to get the desired result, I can't tell you every day how many accidents I post where a person was wearing a helmet and was still killed as the result of a right of way. Or a person was wearing the helmet and it got knocked off their head. You know, people have to understand the helmet, which is the only piece of unproven safety equipment being mandated to be worn in, what, 20-something states? It's, like, ridiculous.
Beth, I have to ask you a question. I hope you'll be candid. When
yep.
we lost you, did you fall asleep because Philip was talking?
No. No, the phone died.
I can't let
the
show guy without dabbing
phone.
Him one time, you know.
Let me stay right there, Betsy. Hello, John.
Yo.
John Del Santo, a big
How do you
guru
do?
Of information.
Hi,
John. By the way, you were talking about that national helmet law that NHTSA has proposed again. The head of NHTSA has proposed. That sucker was knocked down back in 95, once in 99. NHTSA is not supposed to use any money, any of my money, to promote me wearing a helmet. That was passed. I mean, they're going to try it every year.
Yeah.
It's just like there's one guy here in California that every year he tries to prohibit lane sharing. What is it, Lowenthal, something like that. And so, I mean, we're going to constantly see this.
Yeah.
The SB 435, Bill asked me to give a quickie on that. That was signed on the 28th by Schwarzenegger. Now, the work that we did over the last 6 months, we knocked it down from being a noise bill and a smog bill. It was amended in August. All motorcycles manufactured before 2013 are now grandfathered in. In other words, they don't have to have pipes that match what the tag on their engine says. Anything after 2013 has to have all motorcycles manufacturers are to have the EPA noise compliant label. So what we fixed on that before it got signed in was that first offense is a $25 fix a ticket instead of $300. No points on your driver's license, no smog check, no decibel testing. And the downside at this point is that after 2013, no matter what year bike I have, I will be unable to buy aftermarket pipes for it, no matter what the age of my bike.
John, stuff. You're talking about no grandfathering at all. I thought after 2013, the newer bikes, you're saying going back, there'll be no grandfathering of any time period?
No, my bike is a 1997, for instance. In 2013, if my muffler wears out, I can't go just buy, you know, something that you got on your shelf. I have to buy something that has that noise-compliant label on it, which is either original equipment or maybe Bub. Like, Bub just got the rights to have that that label on there. So no matter what age my bike is, I'm not going to be able to, after 2013, I'm not going to be able to buy, like, an aftermarket pipe that doesn't have the label.
Wow.
What does that mean?
And now one of our abate members, Douglas Finley, he said we did everything we possibly could to fight SB 435. Email, petitions, phones, this and that. If there was ever a compelling case for becoming a volunteer a campaign volunteer, this is the time to do it. He says, if the only way we're going to do this is find a politician, become his best friend, work for him, and because then it's not, it's just a job scene, you know, it's job, what's the word I'm looking for? If he votes our way, he keeps his job.
Okay, security, job security, yeah.
Yeah, we've got one guy now running out by out east of San Diego that the vote is like 47% to 39%. And the 47% guy is motorcycle friendly.
Cool.
And, yeah, Powell. We're going to be running.
Well, that's
some...
what you need to do is you need to get behind these politicians and support them. What we do here is we send out postcards.
Right.
You know, we get together and we sent out like 4,000 to 6,000 postcards to all the riders in that community. We get a list from the DMV or the registration or whatever and just inundate the market with these cards. And then we put the bullet points on there, little postcards as to why, you know, we should vote for this person. And anybody who rides in their right mind would definitely want to jump on board and get behind that. So that's something you could do.
Now, the way you say cards, you must be from Boston.
Yes, I am.
Careful.
Is that cards?
Careful, John. Don't forget I'm from
say
Boston.
Cards. Ah, you guys are going to pick on me now because of my accent. Oh, wonderful.
John, I got a question for you. Governor of California is coming up, and we've got, I don't know who we got right now. I think we talk about vote for lesser two evils. I think all we have is evil. Is Abate supporting any of our two candidates for governor, Brown or Whitman? Or do you think there's a viable third person out there anyway that you, in your opinion, feel is a good person?
I haven't heard of anybody myself. Now, years ago, there was a guy that wrote a really good magazine, William F. Buckley.
Yes.
I've never been a conservative, but I loved his magazines. You know, he was just such a brilliant. One of the things that he said is, don't work for anybody that doesn't have a chance of getting elected.
John, okay? That is so interesting because there's a person named Nightingale out there running. And people are telling me this lady has got a lot of good sense, but she doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell, so why are people supporting her? And I'm listening to her. This girl's good, Bill. I'm thinking, but she'll never, ever do it. Can be one of two people, Brown or Whitman. I don't feel comfortable with
Nightingale.
I'm not familiar with.
I will look her up on the email or on the internet tonight just to find out who she is, but... other than as far as Brown or Meg, what's her name, Whitman?
Virginia.
Are concerned, Brown is a guy who does not go with the mandatory helmet law. He's as far as like the Abate voting, guy, he's the one that we would pick because he answered pro-motorcycle on all the questions.
Now, Screwdriver and I are not here to help people, encourage people what to vote. We want everybody to vote, but I want to talk to you about it because I just don't have enough information of Brown or Whitman. I've tried to listen to their national debates. I've tried to get information, and the more I get, I can't feel it. I just can't feel it.
Well, you know, Bill, I've got T-shirts that just say vote.
Yeah,
I don't
perfect.
Give a f- who you vote for. I want to see people vote, you know, to stand up for their right. And here's a woman that has not voted in 28 years.
And did you read the report where they accused her of hiring an illegal worker, taking care of her house for so many years? Did you hear about that in the paper?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that, Bill.
A girl, Meg? Oh, shoot, I forgot her first name right now. Whitman, she's had an illegal workers working for her for years, not paying all the taxes and all that's coming out now. And here's a woman trying to say she's all for justice and all that, and now they're finding out that her workers are testifying in court that she's been hiring illegals for years. And I've always said, I don't like the fact that people are illegal in this country, but what I hate is employers that are ganging from the work from these illegal people. The factories,
really,
the corporations,
really,
that are bringing these people in, paying them less than they're paying the rest of us, they're getting the profits. So I'm not anti-illegal as much as I am going after the corporations and the big people that are paying these illegals to work for them.
Yep.
Yeah, well, somebody on TV just said that recently. I don't know whether it was Bill Maher or who was it, but it says, you know, you want to stop illegal immigration, don't build a fence. You know, go to the companies that are hiring them. Now, as far as Nightingale goes, the only thing I find on the internet is that it's a rufous and common nightingale, a small passerine bird that was formerly classed as a member of the thrush family. So, you know, I don't know.
She must be really underground, whoever this lady
is.
Yeah,
no kidding.
But I hear good things on the street about it, but I don't know a darn thing about it at all.
Now, there was there's a guy up in Wisconsin, heavy-duty biker-friendly, U.S. Rep. Jen Sensenbrenner. He sent a letter today to the head of the Department of Transportation. The NHTSA is banned from using our money to lobby state legislators. There's a ban on that. And he sent this into DOT today to try to make sure that that ban stays. And the let's see, where is it? A letter from Congressman James Sensenbrenner was sent today to the DOT, the Secretary Ray LaHood, who is a biker, by the way, seeking insight into the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's recent request for trying to get, they wanted to know how many law enforcement people wanted money to hold motorcycle-only checkpoints. You know, the letter says that this grant process be suspended until there's sound reasoning for that. Because their whole thing is that keeping accidents from happening, keeping motorcycle accidents from happening, is way more important on what happens after the accident. In other words, making sure everybody's got helmets. So they're pushing for, you know, more training and safety training and traffic control and stuff like that.
John, let me ask you a question if I can. Betsy, you can jump if you want. Do you feel a bait and bolt and bam and disco duck and all this stuff, do you think that we're starting to get complacent, or do you feel these organizations starting to rise in membership?
You know, it comes and goes. You know, like I would guess, I don't know for sure, but I would guess that with this SB 435, we probably picked up some membership. Somebody had made a comment to me once that if they ever ban the helmet law, a bait will go out of business because nobody will want to belong to it.
John, I've heard that for years from people.
You know,
there'll always be another fight.
Hopefully, we can keep picking up members, people who come to realize that, hey, you know, we got to fight these suckers every step of the way, otherwise they're going to run us over. Otherwise they're going to run us off the road.
Betsy,
you know,
what's going on the East Coast? You see that the MROs, is it rising or giving up, declining? What's going on back there as far as membership goes, do you think?
Okay, I'm not really sure about the MMA because I don't think I'm on their favorite person list right now. I do know that as far as Bolt is concerned, we are growing and gaining more interest. My thought, if I had to guess, is that people don't feel that there's much accomplishment.
That's what I was looking for. You feel they're just wasting your time. That's what I'm hearing from people. They've been trying for years, these organizations, not getting it done. Bill, what can I do? But what John's saying, the more people that join up, the more people become active, we can make a better voice, a louder voice. If we don't do something, we'll have nothing. And I try to talk to organizations, and I can't get the message across because people are kind of, they're just frustrated, I guess. That's the word I want. They don't think that their vote means anything, and getting involved won't do anything. Whereas what John is saying, and I completely, which I think, a lot of respect for John, a lot of respect, we got to get behind these people. John devoted his life to doing something. He's not getting paid nothing. You're not getting paid, are you, John?
No.
I'm only kidding. I know that. I'm sorry. I know that. John, you're not getting paid
nothing. But you're absolutely people right. People have to get involved.
Betsy, go ahead, please.
Pardon?
Well, if everybody, if all of these organizations got together, it's like in France back in March. They were pissed off about a new French law that was coming in. They had 10,000 friggin' motorcyclists jammed France. Now, I mean, you know, you talk about, you go up to Sacramento now and you'd be on opening day of the Congress and you're liable to, maybe you get 50, 60 bikers up there. They had 10,000 people. They have one organization, and I forget the name of it, but they have one organization that all of the other organizations belong to. You know, it's kind of like, well, you're too young to remember, Bill, but when the AFL-CIO came in, they were a union that brought other unions in together so that they could make one strong fight. But that's what we need to do with the bikers. I mean, we can't have, you know, I've got people I can talk at a debate meeting, and I say, well, yeah, my friends in Bolt, they're doing da-da-da-da-da-da. And somebody will say, oh, you know, Bolt, those are the guys that set fire to their helmet, you know, 19 fucking years ago up on the helmet. You know, it's like, and then the Bolt people say, well, I bet they ain't doing anything. You know, man, it's like we got to get together.
Right. Right. The problem is that with these groups, especially stateside, is there's too many egos that get in
the
way. And if you could lose the egos, then we could have 10,000 bikers storm Washington or whatever and make a difference. But until you get the egos out of the way, I don't think you'll see us coming together and being united like they did in France and making an effort like that.
Well, I think it's a matter of the ego people realizing that, I mean, it's okay to have an ego. Hell, I got more of an ego than anybody I know. Okay, but my
time
main
to put it
goal
aside
is safety.
I always said, guys, the message is more important than the messengers.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very good.
Well said.
Saying all that and agreeing all that and talking around it, there is no easy solution to our problem, is it?
No.
We can't
unification
get
is our solution. It's how to go about getting that unification. We all try in our different ways. I try it with my biker bits, trying to get everybody on the same page so they know what's going on. You guys do it with your radio show. The A-Bates and the MMAs do it with their organization and so on, and the Bolts do it their way. But, you know, until we can manage to actually come together and bond and go forward and, you know, unified, it's going to be a tough struggle for us.
When I go to speak to some people that run the Honda Goldwing Club, they are so isolated, and they choose to be that way. They come to my shop, but they park across my street because they say, we know you don't want us parking in front of your shop. And I say, who told you that? Well, we just assumed it.
Right.
Because we're not communicating, we are keeping these walls, these barriers separating us, and we have to knock these walls down.
Right. I'll tell you what we did in Boston when we had the noise ordinance that came into effect. We invited every single riding group, be it sport bikes, Yamahas, Goldwings, Hondas, Kawasaki's. Yeah. We invited them all to come to a rally and get educated with what was going on in their backyard. And we had a good turnout.
Yeah, it's tough. That's really, you know, that separation of bike thing is so old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like, I came with a bait like 14, 15 years ago, and there was some around at that point. My wife showed up riding a Honda, and people didn't, you know, kind of fluffed her off, and she's turned into one of the best workers in the local. But, you know, lately, I don't think there's any of that, but it's still there.
It is.
Bill says, still, you know, or even I've had here in San Diego, we have a pretty good-sized black community. And there's a lot of black motorcycle riders. I can't tell you how many times I've sent out flyers and invitations and whatever. Man, I mean, I think there's one black guy that, you know, that comes to the events. You know, there's a whole community there.
Right.
That we could be working with, and yet it's
could
you know,
he
more
be a liaison for you?
What?
Could he be a liaison for you to the rest of that community?
I didn't quite get you. My hearing is not that good.
Okay. Could he be like a go-between, a liaison? Could he go back to the black community and say, hey, guys, you know, you got to come listen to this and just hear what they're saying or whatever?
It could be, really, really.
You know, that would be the way to go. If you got one person, start with where your foot's already in the door. Or ask him if you can go to one of his meetings and have 10 minutes to speak to the group and educate them of what's going on. Maybe
well,
they're just figuring it out.
If you ask, you can go to there's the Black Sabbath and there's one other one down here, one other club. And, you know, and if you call and ask, they'll invite you to a meeting. That's no problem. But, you know,
so who's doing it? Who's going and who's educating them?
Maybe I'll make that a project next year.
There you go. Next
John
year,
Bessie?
What about this year?
John and Bessie? John, do you know where the clubhouse is down there on... Oh, God, I forgot the name of the street.
Yeah,
Market Street?
The white building on the corner.
Market Street.
Is it Washington or University?
Market. No, Market.
Market, okay.
Yeah, they bought a... two clubhouses?
Yeah, I've gone past there.
I was going to say, the clubhouse that they own on Market Street, have you ever been down to it, stop in, have a drink?
I've been past it. I've never been in it.
Why don't you go in and introduce yourself?
There
who's
you go,
tired?
Bro. When I'm coming back from Mexico, that's one of my stops to, you know, I don't drink. It's my lifestyle. I choose not to. No drinking problems. I didn't give nothing up. I just never developed a taste for it. Saying all that, I stop in their clubhouse and come back from Mexico. It's a great place for me to spend 10, 15 minutes and unwind. They got the same problems we got exactly, but we can't communicate with them. And I don't know how we can get through.
Well, you have to reach out to them first.
Betsy, how about a seminar between the motorcycle rights organizations in each city? You think that's something like that could ever go off?
Well, there's one going on this week, Bill.
Where?
In southern Idaho. They're putting on a
seminar. The southern Mid-South Mile?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David, Mark, and Donnie Landsman out of Washington are going.
Cool. Well, yeah, see, those are regional conferences. You know, and then the MRF has its own, but yeah, I'm not so sure that... that, you know, they're gearing themselves, their seminars, toward unification from out the country. I think even their conferences, because they're regional, are still focusing on regions. And I think we have to go one step bigger than that.
Donnie says, instead of just bitching about the MROs, we have a unique opportunity to help the fledging ASI to influence their direction as from their organization. Hopefully we can make them realize what an MRO responsibility in the rights movement is about. We understand that there are many attendees from ICMS, the Idaho Coalition for Motorcycle Safety, who claim to be an MRO and claim service in Idaho over ASI. Perhaps we can show them the error of their ways.
Well,
Terry's telling you that there's infighting going on there, and they're going to go and try and talk to him.
Oh, boy.
Now, the one thing that Bolt is doing that's going to, because Bolt doesn't look for membership, they just look for people who support them. And, but the thing that they're doing more now that I see is they're becoming more of a motorcycle rights organization than just helmets.
Oh, yeah, who ever said Bolt was just helmets?
Well, that's the impression that a lot of people have.
That's wrong. We had that same thought process out here about our A-bait. We had an MMA, and then we had an A-bait, and everybody thought that, you know, it was just about helmets, but it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be about all rights. And the
using your suggestion, I just opened my big fat telephone book here, and where I've got all my random business cards. And I found one for the vice president of Black Sabbath.
There you go.
After we get done tonight, I'm going to give him a call and just touch base with him.
Ooh-ah. Good for you.
John, how about touching base with Howie? Final option? You know Howie, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a good contact. He floats between both worlds.
Yes, correct.
Reach out to everybody and anybody.
I describe Howie, and I want everybody to hear this. Howie is a man who rides a motorcycle who is black. That's how much respect I have for that guy. He's a man. He's on a motorcycle, and if he wants to be called black, he's black. I don't see that. There are some people I just see as men. I try to give them credit, respect. I give a lot of respect for Howie there.
Yeah, I remember that day you gave him a lot of respect when his hair was down and you told me he looked like Link from the
I give him a lot of shit, too. There's no doubt in my mind. Which I'm irritating, but...
I think that goes with your territory.
Pick on my friends. So if I don't like you, I ignore you.
I know.
Well, we had a great idea,
you know, reaching out to the other groups. You know, back home here, we have a lot of groups that just ride. They don't want to be bothered with motorcycle rights. And I go every year and I talk to them about the insurance and I talk to them about what's going on legislatively and let them know they've got to be involved or else they're going to lose their right to ride.
Now, there's something that happened with me last week that somebody had, it was kind of a revelation to me, you know, or an epiphany or an apostrophe or something like that. somebody was talking to me about joining the NRA. You know, I own a pistol and therefore I should be concerned about the laws and I should be concerned about what the government is doing with the bullets and, you know, and this and that. And I really don't care. I mean, I just happen to have this pistol, and, you know, and I'm not going to get involved with a whole bunch of crap over it. And then I went like, wow, look, that's exactly the same thing that people are saying to me about motorcycles.
Bingo.
You know, they ride a motorcycle, but they don't want to get involved with all this other stuff. So it's up to me to try to make them get involved.
Exactly.
So,
and you know what? Recruit people in your organization, too. You've got Gil, who's very vocal and is out there. You know, recruit him to talk to other people. You don't have to do it all yourself. You know, split up the territory and delegate different groups to different people and have them go out and talk.
Yeah, I have a hard time delegating authority.
Oh, you're one of those. Okay.
Yeah, I just, I don't like to ask people to do stuff, so I end up doing
Yeah, but you know what? You're talking about their rights here. And if they're a member of your organization, they're supposedly interested in this and concerned. Call upon them. Make them feel wanted. Maybe part of the problem is they don't feel like they're contributing enough. Involve them.
Work on that.
You know, that's
the phone is supposed to come in at 7 o'clock. I'm going to have to bid you all adieu. But the next time I call, I'll let you know what happened with this call to Black Sabbath.
Okay,
great.
All right, John, say hello to your wife, please.
Okay, Doc, will do. Thank you, and yours.
He's talking with you, John.
Okay, talk to you next time.
Okay, be safe.
Betsy, we've lost John, but we still talked about the subject of trying to have the organizations getting together. And I don't know if he really – he's just going to try to reach out. John can do it. He'll do it. But
I just
it's such
feel
an uphill
bad
battle to get these organizations.
He has to do it all himself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like Bill was saying, he picks on his friends.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story. They had a long hair contest.
Okay.
Howie has long hair.
Mhm.
But when he lets it out, it looks like an afro. So he's standing way in the back. Bill's the MC. Bill's picking. You know, Bill's doing his little smoozing thing on the stage, and he makes a comment about Howie looking like Link from the Mod Squad. Now I know how he's going to go back south, and he's going to stop at a couple of places. So I called those places. As soon as he pulled up, they said, hey, look, it's Link from the Mod Squad.
You guys are bad.
So for about a week and a half, you couldn't get him on the phone. He was pissed at both of us. But then he took it like a trooper, and he said, yeah, you know, you guys are right. He said, I got mad over nothing.
Plus, Betsy, Howie's been in a couple jams. I've been there to give him assistance. You don't forget people to give you assistance when you need it. So since I've given him assistance, he's quick to forgive me.
Yeah, me too. He was quick to forgive me for calling ahead.
Well, that's good.
Well, hey, Art, on the MMA,
yeah.
What's going on over there? Or how do they feel about this bill being passed?
I'm not hearing much right now. We've got another meeting coming up here in another week or two. And so we'll be up there talking to all the upper echelon and see what they have to say, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But,
how do you feel about it?
I think we got stabbed in the back again. That part he finally brought up, you know, he talked about being grandfathered. And I was glad to hear he finally said that all bikes will fall under the rules. And if you have to replace your pipes after 2013, because
right.
Then you fall under the rules. So that's when they're going to get us.
Where are all the aftermarket manufacturers through all of this outside of Bub?
Wonder how they're going to survive. Because they don't. Right now the economy's so bad they couldn't get a loan to build that shit.
Betsy, in my shop, if you want a special order of pipes, but they're not on the walls, you
mm-hmm.
place your money, I place the order, 2 days you got them there. I won't even keep them on the walls. So few people are buying pipes, except for maybe Supertrap. That still's got a great following, but I could get Supertrap in a couple of days too. Everybody is so worried about it, I don't even keep the aftermarket pipes in stock anymore.
Wow. So it looks like that whole era of that type of manufacturer is just going to disappear and become a dinosaur, right?
I believe so.
Well,
Walmart coming in, taking over all the businesses. Harley-Davidson wants control. All those other companies are going to go by the wayside, and all their employees are going to be unemployed. I don't think there's anything they can do about it. I do not think the factory cares about anything but itself.
That's true.
So, you know, I'm not applying for no job at Harley.
That's really sad to hear because it affects so many people.
Exactly.
But if Bub manufactured, if Bub could manufacture a set that got the CARB approval, I don't know how they sound. I haven't seen them or heard them yet. Why can't some of the other big manufacturers?
That was my thinking.
So they're getting aboard. It's just that Bub got on board the train early. Bub realized that now the other companies are starting to realize we got to do something, but is it too little too late? We don't know yet.
According to sources, it's going to take over $500,000 to tool up for that.
Wow.
Well, then I would think you're going to see a big rush on pipes, much like ammunition has gone.
Yeah.
For people to pick up pipes prior to the cutoff date.
Hey, just so you know, the gun show is at Del Mar next weekend.
I thought it was this weekend.
Yeah, you're right. This weekend. I'm sorry.
Yep. And if you go onto the website for the fair, you can get a $1 discount coupon for getting in.
And if you show your retirement card, you get $5 off.
Oh, hey, good one there.
What if you're a vet not retired? You get a discount on that or just what?
You get the dollar.
The dollar.
Well, you don't have an ID usually if you're not either out for disability or retired.
I'm a draftee. I should get special privileges just because I'm a draftee.
Yeah, because you didn't give up that right either.
I gave up nothing. They took me crying, scratching, kicking. So they got me. I didn't go freely.
Yeah. Yeah. How?
Actually, after tour, they want me to re-up, and I said, please tell me the positive side and re-up. And I said, well, it's time for me to go home. So thanks for the memories. I don't have no complaints about being in the military. It's for some people. It's not for all of us. But my country said, come on, and I was not going to turn my back on my country. Whether it was politically correct or not, I didn't care at that time.
Mm-hmm. No.
I would go tomorrow, and I think you would go tomorrow if they called us. I'm having problems with my nephews over there now. I'm having problems with our granddaughters over there now. Not my granddaughter, all of our granddaughters. I'm worried about these things here. But if they call me back again, I got no problem with it.
No.
All right, would you go back in?
Yeah, but I think that's the way most guys are. They'd rather go fight than have to worry about their kids or even their brothers or sisters, you know?
Absolutely.
Danger on me.
So, yeah.
You can dump me anywhere. I'll figure out exactly what's going on. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I just worry about my family. You're right.
What branch of the service were you in?
Sorry, Betsy, what was?
What branch of the service were you in?
United States Army. U.S. 562167.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
No,
let me tell you something. You got a minute, everybody?
My ex was in the Army.
Betsy, hang on. I said, listen for it. When I was in the military, basic training, Art, you'll appreciate this story. They were screaming in our face, telling us that our grandfathers fought World War I, our fathers fought World War II. It's our responsibility to keep those gooks from coming over to this country and raping our mothers and daughters and aunts and cousins. It's our duty. And they'd be screaming in my face. And I'm going to tell you this. This got me all through the military, well, through basic training. When they were nose-to-nose screaming at me, I would check my front tire, sidewall, treads for any cracks. Check the axle. Move up. Pull my one spark plug out. What color was it? Was it brown? Was it gray? Was it black? Move the second spark plug. Pull it out there. Adjust my carburetor. I did tune-ups in my head while somebody's screaming at me the whole time, and my theory was, you have my body, you do not have my mind. It's my mind. I did tune-ups after tune-ups in my head to keep myself absolutely level. Military was not a problem for me at all.
Yep.
That's what I mentioned about the military. I'm not anti-military. It's just how I survived it. Charlie, you on, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm here. What are y'all doing?
Oh, you know, we're just kicking the fat and trying to argue why we all can't get along and why the Bikers' Rights Organization can't get along and why the damn exhaust motorcycle EPA problem is affecting us and the usual stuff. Give us some of your words of inspiration, brother.
Hey, how you doing, Betsy?
I'm good.
You doing good?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh, got my sister in the hospital at the moment, getting a head scan and stuff.
Good to hear
she's got
that.
Some issues. So I'm watching my email because she's trying to text me and as she's going through a process, nobody knows what's wrong. So I kind of got a bit of a family issue at the moment, but I wanted to call and weigh in because I saw earlier this afternoon, and I know you guys have been talking about this for a while, about, you know, the law getting signed today. I was pretty shocked.
What's your opinion of it?
I'm shocked. I can't believe they did it. I can't believe Schwarzenegger actually, you know, did that.
Yeah, especially since he rides around on bikes with shotgun pipes.
I know, and I don't know to this minute for sure what the economic thing is. I guess California is just looking for another way to write a ticket. I'm not sure what his mentality was about that.
Well, the state's financially in trouble. Maybe that was it. Who knows?
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's just another way for them to generate revenue and write more tickets and stuff. And that's the only thing I could think of that he would do something like that.
Well, let me find it, and I'll read to you why he did it.
We believe you people in other states don't pay attention to what's happened to us today and maybe in your state tomorrow.
I pay attention.
I know you do, little girl.
Well, I saw a guy post online somewhere, I think it was on Facebook, and there was another Bikers Rights organization on there posting, hey, this law passed, and, you know, what do you all think of that? And some guy says, oh, I ride over in Arizona or whatever it is. That's why I don't come to California, so I don't have to worry about it. And I thought, what an idiot.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the mentality you've got to change out there.
After my motorcycle shop, I get guys coming in. They say, you know, I never rode since they put that motorcycle helmet in. I sold my bike. And I'm thinking, the state is really going to be upset about the fact you're no longer riding. You idiot, what you want to do is ride even more. But stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, I'm not going to ride anymore. I'll fix them.
Yeah,
no, you
I'll
idiot.
I'm all right.
Yourself, you know?
Baloney.
Here, Bill, just like when you asked me earlier, unfortunately the new law doesn't allow cops to pull over the bikes for noise alone. But there must be some other infraction. The first penalty is a fix-it ticket. Subsequent offenses will cost up to $250. The law, which applies to motorcycles and aftermarket parts going forward from 2013, is not a panacea, but it's a good first step toward bringing a little peace and quiet back to the streets.
Who wrote that?
It was an editorial sent in by somebody anonymous.
All right. Panacea?
Yeah.
Who uses that type of language? No one in this house does.
No.
I would say the abomination.
All right.
Well, you know, model registration offers an objective method to evaluate motorcycle sound based on the Society of Automotive Engineers SAE J2825 standard, measurement of exhaust sound pressure levels of stationary on-highway motorcycles. And I'll put the website up there so you guys can check it out. It's going to be a PDF file.
You know, while he's doing that, you know, Betsy, I've been kind of worried now. This is going to our third show where not one person has written in anything derogatory. Nobody's called Screwdriver or anything. No one's called me anything. No one's bad-mouthed the show. I'm getting kind of worried.
Well, you know, Bill.
You should be happy.
3 weeks in a row, no complaints.
That's a good thing.
Oh, people are writing in, informative, interested. I'm thinking, are they tuning into the wrong show or what? Nobody's complaining anymore.
It's interesting stuff, and it affects them, so they're intently listening.
I don't think anybody's going to pay any attention until they get a ticket. When they get a ticket, I think they're just going to pay it and they scratch their head and go, what?
Oh, I hope that doesn't happen.
But for most people, that's the easy road.
Yeah, and I got something I'm going to blow you guys away with here in a minute as soon as I post this. You're going to enjoy this one.
What are we talking about? What are you looking up in here? He's trying to play something in here. I wish you'd stop talking about blowing things. And this is
yeah.
You talk to Betsy privately on that. I don't want you talking about that around me. I don't know
yeah,
what your problem
okay.
is.
It's your story.
Betsy, what month are you coming out to visit?
I don't know yet.
Well, here, I want you guys to listen to this one.
Is this another long, drawn-out, boring one?
No, it's not.
All right, I'm sorry.
Okay, now.
Sorry if I've got you upset. Go ahead. I'll just go to the bathroom. Go ahead. Don't worry about me. I'll drink a Pepsi. Go ahead.
The Fed spent $800,000 on economic stimulus in Africa. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They spent a total of $823,200 of economic stimulus funds in 2009 on a study at UCLA by a UCLA research team to teach uncircumcised African men how to wash their balls.
Oh, yes!
African men how to wash their balls after having sex.
Betsy, what do you know about African men washing their balls? What do you
know? No, it wasn't their balls. It was their member thingy there. But it was the uncircumcised men, and I don't know anything about African men who are uncircumcised. However, I couldn't believe that they spent the money on that study.
Hey, wait, it's going to get better here.
Wait a minute, what about spending 800-something thousand on motorcycle safety to educate people about bikers? Come on.
Hey, here, the next
that'll save more lives.
The next paragraph. The genitalia washing program is part of a larger $12 million UCLA study examining how to better encourage Africans to undergo voluntary
HIV testing. I read that.
However,
go ahead,
Bill.
I want to make this clear. When I say that we're laughing about the African Americans washing their hands, if they would spend research on. Well, I did say African-American. Yes, never mind the African males. They want to do research on African-American males. I got no problem with that. Spending money on research outside, I don't approve it. I don't care. And stop sending rockets to the moon. I don't want that anymore. Stop sending rockets to Juno, wherever, anywhere. Let's deal with Americans. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I get off the track.
No, you're right on track and you're on target. Our money should be spent here.
Yes.
However, the only penis washing study received money from the 2009 economic stimulus law. The washing portion of the study is set to end in 2011. So they're going to spend not just $823,000, Bill. They're going to spend $12 million total. $12 million total would go a long way in trying to educate.
And how many people are going to benefit from that study here in the United States is what I want to know.
Good luck.
How many people are going to benefit by another rocket to Jupiter? Who cares? As long as there's one hungry person, one unemployed person in America, we shouldn't be wasting our money in outer space. We need to take care of our own people.
You know,
agreed.
You know, it's just like we're talking about the exhaust here in California, okay? In a letter regards to loud exhaust noises emitted by cars of the younger generation, I agree with the letter as written by Gloria Lesser. We should, the public in general, be victims of those who want to drive a car that sounds like a racing car on highways and city streets. This is out of Canada. The Highway Traffic Act just states mufflers shall not emit excessive noise and allows. It also follows the 95 decibel rule. Remember what I was telling you, Betsy?
Yeah.
There's different. Like I think New Hampshire is 110.
What are you saying? Betsy's a screamer. I didn't get what were you saying there.
Yeah. See, now a Porsche with factory exhaust, okay, is set at 99. A Harley-Davidson Softail motorcycle factory exhaust is set at 102 decibels at cruising speed. A Yamaha YZF motorcycle exhaust is set at 116 at idle. The Cruncher is a city bus exhaust is 100.2 decibels traveling less than 5 miles an hour. The only way to reduce this noise level would be for the city in Canada to institute their own bylaws to set lower limits to reduce noise pollution. Now that goes back to that lawsuit with the city of Boston, Betsy.
Exactly. And the EPA.
Somebody has to get a ticket first.
Yep.
New Hampshire's going through the same thing. Yeah.
Right. The thing about Canada, though, is now they're trying to offer up that voluntary testing so you can come in and see if your pipes are over or whatever.
I got news for you. That voluntary testing is just like them conducting intelligence. Because 2 or 3 months down the road, they're going to have a list on their computer screen. And when they're going to have a database that pops up your license plate that you were told your exhaust was too loud.
That's right. You're driving down the road. There's a car half a block behind you. He's running in before he pulls you over. He's got all the information there.
Yep. That's very similar to those DUI stops, Phil, where they have the reports all done and they just fill in the names.
Right.
They've been desensitizing us for a long time. I talked a little bit about that last week. I don't know what the grocery stores are like in y'all's neck of the woods. I know you got Vons out there in California. I don't know what's on the East Coast, but you have to have your little card to get the discounts.
Mm-hmm.
That's not
and they track what you buy.
Because they know you swipe the card before you get any groceries, that your name, your address, your entire information's there. They know exactly who you are and exactly what kind of food is going into your household.
Yep.
It's all been desensitized for a long, long time.
I know my cards
up. All under the guise of we're going to save you money if you become a member of our, you know, have our little card.
Yeah, and it is a guise. It's totally that. It's totally that.
You know,
that's how they.
Not to switch gears, but I want to talk about something else too. You know, right now the helmet, the wiretap, or I should say, the videotaping of that trooper back east, the charges were dropped.
Right.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
No. That's in Baltimore, where a judge threw out the criminal charges Monday against a Maryland man who videotaped his traffic stop, plainclothes state trooper, and posted it on the video on YouTube. He had been indicted under Maryland's wiretap law, which requires the consent of both parties to record a private conversation. Maryland is one of the states where it's a two-party. California is the one. All you got to do is tell them you're turning it on. So he was indicted under the wiretap law, which requires the consent of both parties to record a private conversation. His video shows the trooper pulling his gun and telling him to get off his motorcycle before he identifies himself as a police officer.
So that's
after
how
he posted the video, state police obtained a search warrant and seized his computer and other items. So they went through his computer and found out, that's how they found out he was on YouTube.
Wow.
Well.
It's a little excessive, isn't it, for a traffic stop?
Yeah.
In 25 years, motorcyclists will go the way of the buffalo and the Indian, and they'll be on reservations, and you'll be allowed to ride only on the reserved areas, and it'll all be a story, and then people will show up to look and see the motorcyclist like a tourist attraction. It'll be government run.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when the combustion engine is outlawed.
Also, I want you guys to know that, you know, when Schwarzenegger leaves office, he's going on Obama's green team.
Ha! Oh! I know.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys think we'll still have motorcycle clubs when the combustion engine is gone, the internal combustion, we're all riding electric motorcycles? Do you think that's still going to be around, or do you think we're just going to give it up?
Well, that's like the guy who was riding that Segway that invented it.
He went over the cliff.
He went off a cliff.
Did anybody hear about that?
No.
Well,
I did that Segway, the people mover. That two-wheel thing you go on. No, anybody caught that? He was out riding. He got near a cliff and went over the cliff. So
oh, my God.
So he's going to ride one of those people movers. Be careful.
Did he survive?
No, he died.
Oh,
no,
my
he
God.
He did.
Unbelievable.
So how long is it going to be before they outlaw the combustion engine?
I don't think 25 years. Maybe you said 25 as a comment.
Yeah.
That may be right.
They already want to start taxing the older cars.
Yeah.
And even your hot rods. All the hot rod guys are scared to death now because of the smart stuff they're coming up against them.
Are you guys familiar with what's going on in Japan?
Well, what they don't really understand is those engines burn cleaner than the ones that we got now.
Hmm. Well, in Japan today, you can have, 35,000 miles, you can replace the motor, or is it 40,000?
35.
Well, 35,000, what they're doing, those motors, they're shipping those motors over here to America. 35,000, they're making, take the motor out get rid of it.
Right.
They're desperately trying to keep the air thing going on. So that may not be out of the future, too. I say 25 years, and the internal combustion motor, it's over.
They're sending them over here at $300 a piece.
Yeah.
Well, in China, there are certain places you can't even ride a motorcycle in the city. They're totally banned.
We don't discuss communist countries on this show, remember?
Oh,
no,
sorry.
No communism. You're religious fanatics.
Well, there are other countries where they're doing the same thing, so.
You know, I got this big block against communism. Not the people of China, but the government. Don't get me started on that one early.
Okay, I won't. I actually, guys, I'm going to head out because I got to go stuff my envelopes and get my stuff ready for Sunday's ride. I want to thank you very much for having me on again, and I'll catch you next week.
I'll let you know about that ride we're coming up after my meeting this weekend and all that, so hopefully we can send some flyers back and forth. Okay, baby?
Absolutely. All right, guys.
Well,
good night. Good night, Art. Good night. Bye.
Gentlemen, I hope you agree with me. It's nice to have a lady on to give us some balance, you know? Who we still got on? Is Art still with us? Charlie, who we got?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm
still Who's
still
with us? Art, Charlie?
I'm here.
Oh, good. I was commenting the fact that it's good to have a lady to keep us on, you know, check. I'm always a little bit respectful, I guess, when there's a lady in the presence.
Gotta keep
So what do you guys got going on this weekend? Anybody going special you want to tell about what you're doing? Anything we should know about?
I'm not hearing anything special here of anything going on. I got a friend of mine. I do got one of my good friends who's a captain in the Marine Corps who's we're going to have a little going away party this Saturday because he's heading back to Afghanistan until sometime next summer. He's going on a long haul this time. They usually only do 7 months, but I think he's going to be doing a little bit more.
Do you know which tour this is, third, fourth? Do you know what it is?
I think it's the second or third.
I wear many hats, and I'm counseling 3 Marines right now who are getting ready by next week. I'm going to get them all set up for divorce paperwork. The reason they're losing their marriage is because it's the third, fourth, fifth tour, whatever it is. Their wives cannot stand being home alone, having the wash machine break down. The car broke down. I'm lonely at night. This is putting a tremendous stress on the American communities, the American families, and the children.
And they'd rather talk about 2 bikers in a shootout than they would about what's going on.
Yeah, we're ignoring the fact that we're bringing people home who have had their marriages divorced. You know, that's worse. But so many marriages are going bad, and I don't know if the government's stepping up enough to prepare for this here. We are destroying families because the wife or the husband cannot stand being alone for 7 or 8 months, raising the family and all that. This is something I don't think we're prepared about. I don't think we're prepared for the fact that our daughters are going overseas. Our daughters are coming home missing an arm, missing a leg. Our daughters are coming back with shrapnel wounds. We men are so shallow, we expect every girl we date to look like Barbie, a Las Vegas showgirl. How many men would walk up to a woman missing arms and legs and shrapnel? Very few. But on the other hand, a man coming home from war, missing an arm or leg, shrapnel, a woman can see a man in that body. Missing an arm or leg is nothing. We men are so shallow, we want Barbie doll. And that's sick, but that's something going on right now.
It's true.
Well, the thing it is, there's a lot of that. I mean, like with my friend, you know, he's been in 15 years and he's going to retire because that's exactly right. He's made a decision with his wife that they can't go down this path anymore. And because of the circumstances inside the Corps and inside the whole situation is not, you know, something anybody wants to spend their lifetime devoted to. They see, you know, that it's crazy. And the sad part about it is he's going to retire when he gets back, and this is like an eerie, send him to Afghanistan until next June when he comes back to the United States and then gets to go on his, terminal leave.
Yes, correct.
So the point being, it's just eerie because you made a decision. You're an officer, so you get to choose to get out. but you're not getting out till you do this last run. And he's
part
of
the military
team.
That we say if you draw your paycheck, you take your chances. But we're looking at the whole situation here with the families. And I'm seeing it daily at my shop. I did years of counseling before I get in the motorcycles. And they come and talk to me. They want to keep their families together. But they got a responsibility. They're in the military. But their families are being destroyed. As a man, you have a choice to make. I have to go because my government's sending me. I'm losing my family. That's a tough choice to make, guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you got to have a mutual decision about it too. I mean, the man also has to feel good about what's going on, and I think so many troops are feeling like, man, this is not, you know, obviously, it's not showing anything enough that, you know, they get bad gut feelings about it. You know, they're in there, and I would think especially officers who are privy to more information than the enlisted men. Have even more greater knowledge of how crazy it is, you know. Enlisted men, you know, are going in and doing their terms and not even getting half the information.
A lot of them stay because if they go on the outside, they won't get the respect they get on the inside.
Yeah.
So the military has kind of slipped down a few notches. Yeah. I want to tell you that
I see it every day at work, man.
A friend of mine is was a captain. He was due for major, and they said to him, and I'm not going to say his name out loud, don't worry about it. One more tour, and it'll be your last tour. I guarantee you'll be there. And yet what happened was after he did his tour and he became a major, they said to him, 6 months later, you're going back again.
Mm-hmm.
He did his last tour, and then he got out of the military like you just said. Here he is, a captain becoming a major, and he still can't get them to tell him the truth. He said, you will not go back again.
Yep.
You'll be with your family.
And
by the way, his family's broken up now. His wife's back in the Mideast, and, you know, because she couldn't take the stress anymore.
Yep.
Took the kids, and she left. Captain, becoming a major, you know?
Hey, guys, one thing to think about with this thing here is the military is paying some sort of a bonus for the people that got held over on their enlistments when they didn't let them out. They extended their tours. But it's going to be expiring here in the next month or two. So if you know anybody that fell into that category, they should get hold of the VA and find out about it.
You know how far back that goes? Like,
it goes all the way back.
Okay.
But from the time we went in and they were doing all the holdovers, but they're, I'm not sure how much longer it's going to last, but they should get a hold of the military or the VA and find out about getting the paperwork in to get that money. It's theirs. They earned it.
Yeah, I saw one of those on the ship the other day.
Well, I got out. There was no problem. I tell you, my second year, I didn't get my paycheck, and I went to find out why, and they said, call your parents up right away. So I'm on the phone, and they said, tell your family, if anybody in the government has contacted them, that there's a mistake, you're absolutely okay. And I said, well, what has happened? They said, Fort Campbell, Kentucky, has incorrectly put your records in as dead. So you're not going to get paid. It took them 3 months to pay me, so I said to them, and bear with me, think this is logical. If you're not going to pay me, why don't I just leave? I'll come back when you pay me. And they told me whether or not I get paid in the military is irrelevant. I'm in the military. I ended up, the Red Cross came in. I had a lot of respect for them. They gave me a half a paycheck for 3 months. Then on the fourth month when the government corrected me, I went down the Red Cross, paid them all back, and I've been a strong supporter of the Red Cross. They said, because I don't get paid, it's no difference. You're still working. How's that for a job site?
I want to know what manufacturer that is. Is it like Kawasaki or, well, this is Biker's thing. You're talking military.
Oh, we talk. We are first the game, I don't know how can we drift off into the military. It's because we're a bunch of ex-militaries, and it comes in and out of our lives every day. I can't have a day go by my shop without former military, active military. We just talk about it. We can't. We're part of that group, that team. The rest of our lives, we'll have it.
The military is a very active part in the motorcycle community.
It gave us a lot of discipline. I don't regret a single day. I don't mean all the days were good. I just don't regret anything in there. I'm not sure I understand why I was in the military, what they wanted out of me, and what the whole situation was, but I got drafted, I showed up,
did my time, and I came home. No complaints.
Nope.
Except for the part that you were registered dead.
So what does that say about your marriage, Bill, if you're dead?
I wasn't married when I was in the military. My father, 20-some years in the military, United States Army, when I got drafted, he said, son, I haven't given you a lot of good advice because he did three tours of Vietnam back to back to back, so I kind of grew up a little bit on my own. He said, there's three things I'm going to suggest to you. You're going to get drafted for 2 years. When you get there, they're going to try to push you to sign up for third or fourth year. Don't listen to them. Don't do anything. Do your 2 years and get out. Now, if you want to stay in after that, re-up and get a good school that you want. Second thing he said was, after basic training, everybody's going to run out and get a tattoo. Do not get a tattoo, son. Do your 2 years. Get out. Re-enlist. Then get your tattoo. Third thing I'm going to say to you, and I hope you listen to me, son, do not get married while you're in the military. Do your 2 years and get out. Now, if you re-enlist, get your tattoo, find a good woman, settle down. Do not get married the 2 years you go in. And I kept good advice to that.
Yeah, that's good.
What about you, Screwdriver? Were you married after?
After.
Being married in the military is a lot of stress. Having this show with Screwdriver is a lot of stress, guys.
Yeah, okay. We're going to...
Excuse me, you were married before you got out.
Oh.
That's right.
Screwdriver was corrected.
That's right.
Would you like to share with us what the correction was?
Yeah, I was married before I got out. You said when I went in.
I didn't say that. No,
but I wasn't married when I went in, but I got married before I got out.
You're a better man for it.
Well, that's because you're used to having people yell at you, so you just figured when you get out, you'd bring your own.
There you go.
We're going to wrap this up, Bill.
Yeah, I got a lot of things I had to take off to tonight.
I'm going to play your favorite song here. We're going to close out with War.
I want to thank everybody for sharing their thoughts with us. Again, if we don't know your thoughts, we'll only have our own thoughts. But what happens to those people in other states that write us and all that, we appreciate you writing with us. Agree with us, disagree with us, whatever you want. I don't want you to change your philosophy or your attitude because of what we say. But listen to what we have to say. Bear in mind how we feel about it. We will listen to what you say. We honestly will give you our full respect and all that.
I'll also
so,
give you the mic.
And we will not cut you off. Folks, I want to say good night to everybody. All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Have a good night.
Night.
Yeah.